Save money and energy like a boss. Find ideas and incentives for your facility from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program at ComEd.com/likeaboss. Rolling on ESPN 1000. I do want to get to Danny's experience at Target a little later.
We will get to that.
I can't wait to have that discussion.
All right. In the meantime, how about some football?
How about some football with two-time Super Bowl winner? Now a guy who's no longer atop the mountaintop with 8 touchdowns in one game by himself. Somebody from the University of Buffalo. Say, Howard Griffith, move over. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How you guys doing this morning?
Good. Were you screaming? I don't know who Buffalo played that day, but were you screaming for like Bowling Green to stop that guy at the goal line?
No, I really wasn't. I mean, he had an unbelievable day. 409 yards, 8 touchdowns, should have had 9. Coach pulled him, I think, a little early. But, you know, it's one of those things. I get to hang around with someone else now. 2 of us at the top. Actually, it's 3. There was a guy 2 years ago from Arizona State. He scored 7 rushing and 1 receiving.
Got it.
Yeah, that's great, man. You should have shared a bottle of that champagne, though, afterwards when you found out that you still had the mountaintop.
See, I figured you would be the guy that your kids would walk in and go, Dad, why are you watching the University of Buffalo game?
Yeah.
And why do you have a cigar and champagne like the 72 Dolphins when the team like would the lose? Dolphins. They celebrate. I got stopped!
It was actually a lot of fun. This time I was in studio, so I was in with Dave Refs and Jared DiNardo and Joshua Perry. So it seemed like Reber was having a lot more anxiety than I was at the particular time.
Yeah, I love that because they were showing that on social media, just your face, and it was great. I'm glad you're still that guy. You're always going to be my leader, man.
I appreciate that, Eddie.
You're always going to be that dude. I want to ask you about personality in coaches because – you know, after the loss against Green Bay, Matt Nagy was a little bit of a – obviously he was salty because of the loss, especially coming off a bye. But he seemed like he had a little bit more edge, more than we've ever seen. Do players know that they see a personality and yet they see someone a little bit more of an edge? How does that affect players normally?
You know, players see the edge before I think the public actually does because they're in the meeting rooms, they're traveling, they're on the practice field with the coach. So, I mean, you have to believe that there was an edge previously before, you know, the loss. And one of the things that happens, hey, it's just a business, right? And the players know it. Players have to play better. Coaches have to coach better. But the reality is the first one out the door is going to be the coach because it's a lot harder to move the players in a lot of respects.
As you look at Matt Nagy and you look at where this team is, 5 games to go. They've lost 5 straight. There's really, you could paint a scenario, Howard, I think Hoodie agrees, where they could win any of the games left. Green Bay may have already cinched it and go, Aaron, you're out, and Tim Boyle, you're starting at quarterback. The Vikings may have already cinched up a playoff spot. Detroit stinks. Jacksonville stinks. Houston's not very good, although they have Deshaun. How do you think they're approaching this game this weekend with Detroit, knowing it's Daryl Bevel who's going to try and impress?
Yeah, well, you know, I think, you know, players are going to go out and compete all the time, right? Because you're always being evaluated. We always talk about the eye in the sky never lies. It never says, okay, well, I had an injury. I had a hamstring issue. That's why I couldn't play as hard. It's just whatever that grade was when you went out there and played in that game. So the same thing happens in this type of game. You're playing for your future. You're playing for other clubs. You're playing for the next coach, next general manager. So I think if you have pride in yourself and what you're doing, as a worker, you're going to go out and play as hard as you can, no matter what the circumstances are.
How about the Lions coming up on Sunday? New head coach. What do you think that was the issue with Matt Patricia as we get ready for this game on Sunday?
As I think it's, you know, starting to come out or has been coming out, the players didn't like him. Mm-hmm. Didn't have a great deal of respect for him. So, you know, anytime you have something like that, you know, there are going to be some issues. So now you get a new voice at the front of the room, players are going to be inspired. That's not to say that they're all of a sudden going to go out and go on a run, but I would expect the team to come out and play very enthusiastically. Now, I'm also one of those guys that says, okay, so you're telling me you're on the staff with me, you got all the answers, you didn't share the answers with me, so So now all of a sudden you're going to be the genius and you're going to be the one that fixes it. You know, that's a tough situation to be in. But again, you have to go out and try to take advantage of your situation. And Detroit's going to come in and play as hard as they can. And as you know, you know, they got a quarterback that's capable of making plays and making you look bad.
I think it's always suspect, by the way, when you have a head coach with a pencil behind his ear, but yet he has a laminated sheet. If you're a player, you see that, you give him a little side eye, don't you, Howard? Don't you?
Yeah, he's a little sus. Really match, right?
A little sus.
You need to have a Sharpie with you.
Exactly.
So you can write on that.
At least Matt has a Sharpie. Did you hear the whole thing in Detroit about his supposed burner Twitter account?
You know what? I have been hearing about it, man. But it's crazy, man. You know, and one of the things that's always come out from when you talk about guys that come from the Belichick tree, for the most part, they try to come in and they try to bring that system, and they alienate everyone in the building. That's one of the things you can't do, because people are accustomed to, and I'm not just talking about the players. I'm talking about equipment people. I'm talking about secretaries. I'm talking about support group trainers. When you come in there and you start alienating the building, you're going to have problems. And that's one of the things that it appears that Matt Patricia was doing as well. And that's one of the things that comes out of this Belichick tree. When you look at a lot of the guys that have gone on the head coaching jobs, they try to micromanage everything, and they really don't have the success that they had, or try to duplicate the success that they've had in New England.
Yeah, his burner account, Eddie P. Lions fan. His middle name is Edward. He hadn't tweeted since the start of the season until 2 days after he gets fired. And it says, Coach Patricia did what he could with the roster Quinn gave him. Bob Quinn was the problem. The bio for Eddie P. Lions fan says, three kids. He has three. I said his middle name is Edward, and it says tech nerd, and he graduated from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute.
So much for the burner account, right?
Smarter than, don't you? You need to be a little bit smarter than
right.
That.
You know what? See, now I'm an employer on the other side. He's got to get hired again, right? There's no way. There's no way. First of all, you have a burner account. You're not smart enough to be able to change the whole bio. Like, hey, I don't have any kids, and you know, I'm into video game, whatever. Right?
Right.
He puts pretty much half his resume out there for everyone to see.
Yeah, like Howard's burner account says, scored 8 touchdowns. You know?
Yeah.
Really?
You're very bright. You know, that's one of the things that happens. And you know what? To be fair, it could have been a family member. It could have been anybody, but. You know, at the end of the day, he couldn't get the job done, right? And he was labeled as one of these geniuses, which there are so many of them that are floating around the NFL right now and in college football, that really at the end of the day aren't worth their weight in salt. So, you know, I think, as organizations have to do a better job of vetting, you know, who they want and what they want out of their organization. And it's just not always going to get the hotshot young guy that hasn't done it anywhere and only been a part of a great organization, but hasn't built or, really established himself as a general manager or a head coach.
Howard Griffith with us on Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Howard, do you believe that the National Football League is being fair to players, to the schedule? We just got through seeing the Steelers. I mean, they bumped Kelly Clarkson, right? Right after Ellen, you could watch the Steelers in that matchup against the Ravens. Do you believe that Roger Goodell and the NFL are being fair to the players as far as their regimen, their time through COVID-19? We're seeing things we've never seen before in the NFL.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think, once again, it really shows you the ultimate power of the National Football League and the Shield, and it really is about money. It really is. And, you know, they're going to do their best when they can to take care of the players. But when it comes to games are going to be played, period. One way or the other. I can remember in Denver, we had an unbelievable snowstorm that shut down the entire city. And that includes the airport, which is outside. I mean, it was so much snow, it was ridiculous. And they told us, you know what, there's a game in Buffalo, and you guys, it starts at 11, hope you make it. So we're scrambling around, it's 8, 9, 9 o'clock at night, and we're trying to get out to Buffalo to play a football game. So that told me then, and that was obviously many years ago, how important it is for these games to be played, and it really doesn't matter what the physical condition of the players are going to be. they're going to get out and play and do their thing.
No, I was going to ask you, Cap, do you ever think that the power will go into the players' hands in the NFL like it is in the NBA?
No. All they'll do is keep saying, well, we're going to add another game. We're going to add another game, but we'll throw a little bit more money to your retirement fund, or we'll throw a little more money to you get an extra percentage point on how much the players are splitting up. That's just the way they do it. And if you don't like it, go find another place to make millions, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And there are going to be other guys that are going to be able to fill that role. And that's one of the things about the National Football League. Unlike the NBA, you could have a longer career, but that career in the NFL is so short relative to what you're going to be doing with the rest of your life. You can look at, take a guy like Le'Veon Bell, who was an unbelievable player before he had the holdout. Now, you would think, okay, well, he missed a year, so that's tread he doesn't have on the tires. He's never been able to get back to that performance level. And that's one of the things, the clock keeps ticking, the body keeps getting older, and it keeps, regardless of whether you're playing or not, you're not going to be able to play at the same level you played at, for the most part, 2 years after, you know, you've had that big season in Le'Veon Bell's situation.
So from week to week, how much time does it really take for you to recover, Howard? And the reason why I ask that question is because we just saw the Ravens and the Steelers yesterday. That was the second.
Right.
And here come the Steelers again on the 7th against Washington. That's not enough time to recover, is it?
No, it's not enough time at all. I think you talk to most people, you know, you play on a Sunday, your body's not feeling good again until Thursday. You know, and that's the reality of you know, the collisions and the way the game is played. And to think that you're going to have a turnaround like the Steelers are going to have, it's crazy to me. But, again, it speaks to the power of the National Football League, and it's, you know, the union should have done something about it. And I know, you know, a lot of it is because of COVID, so you're trying to move things around. You're trying to play as many games as you can so that you can maximize the product and you can get the teams that you need into the playoffs. But, you know, it still doesn't mean that you're doing the right thing for the players. You're really not, ultimately not. You're doing the right thing for the National Football League.
My brother is a doctor, and he did an internship in college with the Bears training staff because he went to Lake mm-hmm. Forest College, when that's where the Bears used to train.
Yeah.
And he said the year he's the intern is 1985. How blessed is he?
Wow.
And he said, I'd be in the training room with Fred Cato. Remember Freddie Cato?
Yeah, Freddie Cato?
He said, I'd be in the training room, and they literally would have to help Jim McMahon into a hot, cold tub. He said, yeah. And then here'd come Dan Hampton. He could barely walk, and guys would help him into another cold tub, and they'd pour ice in there. And I remember him calling me going, there's no way these guys are playing on Sunday. And he said, that was on Tuesday, and then on Wednesday. He said, and all of a sudden, Friday, they're bouncing around. Let's go. Get it on.
Wow.
He said, I don't know how they do it. I don't know how they do it.
And that is a great example and an explanation and an inside behind the curtain that it what happens, and I don't care whether it was 45 years ago or a game you played last week. The body, you know, yeah, medicine is a lot better and they have treatments and different things, but the body is still going to take a toll and needs time to recover. And, you know, that's the reality of what players go through on a weekly basis.
Bears win Sunday, right?
I don't know about that.
All right, we appreciate your time. Thanks, Howard.
I don't know if it's that easy. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
Yeah, I think this Detroit team is going to play inspired football. You know, this is a dangerous team you're playing now, particularly, you know, with the first game, you know, after Patricia's been out, you know, your opportunity for them to go out and compete and play at a high level. And I think it's very hard if they find themselves turning the football over. It'll be issues there. I mean, there. You know, Mitch is going to give the ball away at some point. Can the defense hold up? Are they ready to go? Or are they beat up and tired because they've been, you know, asked to do so much up until this point? So I think it's going to be a heck of a game, but I don't think there's any assurances that the Bears are going to come out of this thing with a win.
Hey, man, have a great rest of your day. Best to your son, okay?
All right, fellas, take care.
Have a good one. There you go. That's Howard Griffith. He is Jeff Meller's partner every week on Bears postgame. And you get it right here on ESPN 1000. As soon as the game goes final, flip on over to the guys. All right, a former Bowl favorite may be headed into retirement.
but my partner, Jonathan Hood, Bob Hood's son, has a better idea for that player's future. Not sure I agree, but we'll debate it. Next.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
So, yesterday,
yep.
Bill Duffy, who's a really good dude, I've known Bill a long time, he's the agent for Joakim Noah and many, many other players, a great dude. He told Woj, yeah, Joakim is likely headed towards retirement. Body's just getting old, banged up, and immediately I'm seeing Bulls should sign him. The Bulls should retire his number. Joakim this. I love Joakim. He was one of my favorite players to watch as a Bull. He was a good player. He wasn't a great player. He was a good player. He's a great dude. Let him ride off into retirement. I don't need the 12th spot at the end of the bench to be, let me pat you on the head because you're a good dude. No. We move past that.
Yeah, that's wrong. And here's why it's wrong. Joakim Noah, you know, we see his workout videos, and the guy still is in great shape. There is still value in the NBA. We've gotten away from this over the years, Cap. There's a value for an old head to be in the locker room. Now, how much cap space will he really take up? It's Joakim Noah. You got to have a veteran in the locker room to look over the young guys. That's still something that we grew up watching for a long time. That guy can't play anymore, but boy, back in his day, he was good, and he's leading that locker room. You got to have that. That's the reason why we have teams like Sacramento and before this Phoenix, where the oldest guy is like 27. What's he seen? What's he done, right? You want to have an old veteran in there. He's not going to play, but he's over there smoking. He's in the locker room smoking. He might be having a few drinks, but he's watching that locker room and saying, guys, I remember when I was in this position and blah, blah, blah. A leader in the locker room is even more important than Billy Donovan at this point. So I still believe in every roster should have an old guy, an old veteran, sage, that can tell the guys stuff. And I think that Joakim could be that guy. He didn't have to play. Put him on the roster. How much is that? A million, two?
Make him an ambassador.
No, he can't help him that way. You got to have some eyes in that locker room, don't you? He's not a stooge. He'd just be a locker room leader. Who's a locker room leader for the Bulls now?
I've got to think it's Zach.
Oh, God.
Zach LaVine.
That won't work. No, that won't work. But you remember that, right?
Yep.
An old Robert Reed, a Robert Chief Parrish, a Buddha Edwards. Those guys couldn't play anymore, but there is value to having the old guy in the locker room.
Granville Waiters.
Yeah, have him in there, right? And I think that at some point, because he's so beloved in this town, I'd love to see Joakim be part of the organization, even if he's not going to take up a roster spot.
You've got Archie Diakonos, probably.
Oh, God.
A leader in there.
I could barely pronounce his name. Why is he in there? You know, that's the whole thing. Like a Denzel Valentine can't tell those guys anything. What's he done? What's he seen?
I'm going through their list right now, and you do make a valid point.
Didn't cost you anything.
See, hold on. Thaddeus Young is a leader in there.
Sure.
He's a very – that's why he was signed.
When the Bulls are good, though, he won't be around.
Probably right. I think this is the final year of his deal.
Mm-hmm.
Otto Porter is a leader, but you got to play to be a leader.
That's true. A very expensive leader.
Very expensive leader.
For a third option offensively.
And beyond that – nobody.
Yeah. I still believe in that, not just for the Bulls, but any team that's on the rise. A young team needs an old head in there. I really believe in that. So, and I don't agree, and I agree with you, by the way. His number doesn't need to be retired and pulled up in the rafters. I'd put Derek up there before I'd put Joakim Noah there.
Would you retire Derek's number if it was up to you?
I would not, but Jerry would.
See, I would agree with that.
See, Jerry would do that. It was unfortunate circumstances. You were good for us. You just get hurt. You know, you with the Simeon. That's fine. I mean, that's what. So
local kid.
Yeah, local kid. Good kid. You over Curry. But you know, see, that's what I think. Yeah, I think that Jerry would do it. I don't think that I would. And by the way, when it goes back around, who knows? Derek might end his career here.
Correct. That would be, if Derek came here and played the last couple seasons, it kind of, you know, went out where he's getting applause on, then maybe retire the jersey.
Probably.
Danny, would you retire Derrick Rose's jersey right now?
No, absolutely not. But we've had this conversation before. I think it's a foolish conversation. Like the Joakim Noah one, whoever came up with that one, that's basically their impression of Skip Bayless. Like that, don't say it. Let's not go there, Joakim Noah.
Take
defensive
that, Mark
player of the year, and you're going to hang his jersey with Scottie Pippen, Phil Jackson, Michael. Come on, please. Derrick Rose was great for a burst, but his jersey does not belong up there. Like for me, in my head, if it's a Bulls jersey, you have to say to yourself, does it belong up there with the great Michael Jordan?
No.
The answer to Derrick Rose is no.
No, it's not.
Okay, but
no.
What if they said to you, hold on a second, Jerry Sloan's jersey's up
that
there.
That was pre-MJ. Like, anything pre-MJ is fine. Jerry Sloan's jersey was retired. That was fine. I understand it. I'm not going to argue the greatness of Jerry Sloan. But, like, Michael Jordan has set a bar for the franchise. Scottie Pippen, bar. Phil Jackson, bar. Like, those jerseys, and even Jerry Krause, there's a certain level that you need to be in the Chicago Bulls organization. And just because you were a hometown kid that won Rookie of the Year and MVP, what else did you win? We're not hoisting your jersey up there because we all love you.
Thank you for mentioning me. I deserve to be up there. Jerry's very good. I'm very good. I was a general manager. pardon me.
That's a fine.
I'm sorry. Well, I can afford it. I'm Jerry Krause. Phil will not be returning. Turn on the mic, Kaplan. He will not return. Thank you.
I'll never forget that. Can you record it right now? Sure, Jerry. 3, 2, 1. Jerry Krause joins us. Jerry, good day for the organization. You got Phil Jackson, your legendary coach, re-signed.
He will not retire. He will not return. They can go 72-0. Yeah, he will not. He will not return. He will not return.
Wow.
Ham sandwich. So that's the way I look at it. I think that it'd be great for Derek to come back here one more time. And as Tom Thibodeau always says, Derek's good when he's healthy.
He is.
He's true. Like, he is. If Derek's healthy, he could give you something, right?
And I was critical of Derek pre. What is the term called? Why am I
pre-injury?
No, load management. Pre-load management. Yeah. And I walked up to him at the United Center pre-pandemic last winter and said, "Hey, man, you got a second?" And he was in the hallway outside the locker room on a mini trampoline, like doing these balancing exercises. Mm-hmm. He's like, "Yeah, what's up, Cap?" I said, "I owe you an apology." He's like, "Excuse me?" I said, "I owe you an apology. You were right. I was wrong." He said, "I questioned you for taking time off. You were a pioneer. You actually were ahead of all these guys." And he's like, "Oh, my God. I can't believe it." And he hugged me.
Yeah.
He's like, "We're cool."
Yeah. So he's like a sweetheart of a guy.
He is.
He actually is.
He is.
So
I'll never forget it. So I was wrong. He was right. I'm totally 100% on his side.
Could you explain to me, sir, at the capologist here, could you explain to me the Westbrook wall deal?
I can't.
It's the worst deal.
I think it's, "Hey, hoodie, Cap."
Yep.
"Hey, what's up, my guy?"
"What's up, man?"
"I have got to get Russell Westbrook off my roster.
Man,
I know you want John Wall off your roster."
"Man, you want Westbrook off your roster? I want Wall off my roster."
"So let's just swap him."
Draft picks?
Throw me a number one. I don't care what year it is.
All right, deal.
Done.
All right, let's call the league. That's what happened. That didn't help anybody. John Wall, who was woven in the fabric of Washington, right? They love him there. You knew he wanted out, right? He's been hurt a lot. He wants a new challenge, so he goes to Houston. And Westbrook, who just can't play with anybody, right? It's like, everybody that's already played with Westbrook wants to get away from him. Harden and Durant, Paul George, they all want to get away from Westbrook. And Westbrook's like, "Well, I can't play with Harden." Okay, go to Washington. And then what? So now you got the combination of
him Beal. And Beal.
Yeah, Beal. And so that's not going to work. The only positive is that now you got a little bit more star power in the East. Now Westbrook comes to the East.
Well, I think if you're Houston, also John Wall does have the deferential gene in terms of as a point guard, where he might be willing to set Harden up more than Westbrook was.
And then,
maybe.
And then, but you're still in the same spot.
You are.
Or worse.
You're not good enough.
Yeah, or worse.
Right.
Because now this is not the This is Steven Silas's team, unfortunately.
You've been to the Final Four a million times.
Yes, I have.
I'll tell you that story after this timeout. We've got Jesse Rogers on the Cubs moves and the future. Remind me to tell you a great John Wall story. You'll laugh.
Cap.
We'll be right back.
David Kaplan.
Jonathan Hood.
Our new morning show. This is Cap and Jay Hood.
On ESPN 1000.
And the ESPN Chicago app.
All right, we'll get to your calls, and we will talk Joakim, but Jesse Rogers is our baseball insider. He is all over both sides of town. The big story yesterday, not so much the non-tendering of Carlos Rodon. I think everyone saw that coming. Nomar Mazara, not very good.
Yeah, you know Big Cat was not going to be here with the Sox very much longer.
I thought he was Nick Friedel. He looks like Nick Friedel.
Yes, both. They had a baby.
That's it.
Baby Carlos Rodon.
Big Cat, Nick Friedel had a child. It's Carlos Rodon.
Yep.
Anyway, Jesse was all over the Kyle Schwarber news yesterday. And Jesse Rogers joins us now here on Cap J Hood on ESPN 1000. Jesse!
Good morning, boys. What's happening?
Well, you know what's happening, pal.
Yes.
Moving and shaking at Clark and Addison. The question is about Schwarber.
What do you think? Yeah, not a shock. We talked about a month ago one of these bigger names was probably going to be non-tendered. But this is certainly the start of a makeover. Think about this, guys. I don't know if you brought it up on the show, but their 2012 and 2014 first-round picks, both non-tendered on the same day. Their 2013 first-round pick probably won't be on this team very much longer. Those are the first three Epstein first-round picks. The guys they may build around are the Hendry guys who outlasted Theo. Wilson Contreras, who might be on the move, but he's still here now, mainstay catcher. And, of course, Javi Baez was a Hendry guy. So strange how things work out. They just did not reach the potential. Obviously, Almor, just 26 years old. And Schwarber, you know, a very volatile player, lots of ups and downs with him. Great player to cover. Midwest guy we all got along with. Like, you understood Schwarber. And I think people need to realize something. Back before the Brizzle thing all took off, Theo in that front office was thinking Bryant and Schwarber would be the two guys to lead them to the promised land for the next and play great baseball for the next decade. You know, Bryant, the West Coast guy, Vegas through San Diego with in college, the good looking tall blue, you know, and then it's Schwarber, right? Indiana, Cincinnati, the Midwest meat potatoes guy, the Dustin Pedroia of Theo for the Cubs, and it just never materialized the way they wanted. It did with Bryant for a while there, but injuries caught up a little bit. And obviously, he's still a very, very good player, but more than likely, they're not going to sign him to a long-term deal, and he'll be gone. So the makeover has begun.
Okay. Do you think there will be, A robust market for him? B, are you just waiting for the other shoe to drop? Oh, they traded Chris Bryant for a Class A pitcher just to move the money. They have to know they could move him, right?
Yes. And they need, but see, here's the thing. When you do a makeover, a retool instead of a rebuild, you can't miss. You have to trade him. You're not going to get as much as you thought, but you can't miss on whoever you get back. So if they can get back like the Yankees did, their version of Gleyber Torres. Now, granted, it won't be Gleyber Torres because that was a deadline deal for a closer that helped you win a World Series. But something like that, you should still get one good prospect for Chris Bryant who could help you in a couple years. That's what you have to do. Hopefully more than one good prospect. So, yes. I thought you were asking the market for Kyle Schwarber. I think there will definitely be a market for Schwarber. Left-handed power, I don't think people realize. They don't grow on trees. I know in this day and age we think everyone hits home runs, and, yeah, maybe they do. But left-handed power is coveted. I guarantee you guys, in July 21 or July 22, we're going to be saying, why can't the Cubs don't have any lefties that hit it out of the park? I mean, the moment you let a guy like Schwarber go, you are trying to replace that kind of power from the left side. So think about the Orioles, the Yankees. Heck, I think he fits on the White Sox a little bit. If they wanted to, you know, platoon DH left field, Eloy and Schwarber back and forth, because they don't have enough left-handed hitting on the south side. If Eloy wasn't on that team, he'd be even a better fit because, again, how many DHs can you carry? And Eloy really is a DH, and so is Schwarber when you look at it in reality. So I think there'll be a market for Schwarber. He just won't get much money. And there certainly will be somewhat of a market for Bryant. You're just not going to get the home run package in return.
Yeah, if you have a universal DH, Jesse, you could see him on the Cardinals or the Braves. The Padres would be a good spot as well for him. So I look forward to seeing what that looks like. Is there any other moves that you expect the Cubs to make? Any surprise moves? Because we talked earlier about the starting rotation. You have two assets in Darvish as well as Kyle Hendricks. But is there anything else you expect from the Cubs?
Well, first of all, nothing soon. I mean, this thing's going to slow down now. Yesterday was the last deadline for anything to happen. The next deadline is arbitration hearings. Things are going to slow down because teams want to know if fans are going to be in the stands, right? That's number one. Teams want to know if there's going to be that universal DH. They still haven't decided on that. And there's a negotiation that needs to happen that hasn't happened yet, which is just awful for NL teams not to know. It seems inevitable there'll be a DH in 21, but it's not a sure thing. So there's going to be a huge slowdown, in my opinion. Some savvy teams are going to pick off some players, especially the teams that have World Series aspirations in 21, Jay Hood. I don't think the Cubs are one of them. Think about the Braves. Think about the White Sox, maybe. Certainly the Mets, because of their new owner, they're going to pick off some players. But I think you're going to see a huge slowdown for certain teams that aren't thinking about the World Series, and I think the Cubs are one of them.
Do you think they'll entertain seriously trading Yu Darvish, Kyle Hendricks, like their most marketable trade chips?
I'm going to say no, but leave that caveat out there that in this day and age with pandemic and everything else, that anything is possible. But that is a mini to full-on rebuild if you trade either or both of those guys. If you trade one, you may as well trade both, and you certainly could get a lot back. But I'm going to say no until further notice. Now, if there's no vaccine, let's say that fail, or there's no fans, even if there is a vaccine, then maybe things change because Ricketts doesn't want to pay those salaries, you know, without anything coming back. So I'm going to say no because that changes the whole dynamic. I will say, I don't know what their plan is exactly, but I do believe Jed has a plan to retool some things, and this was certainly the start of it.
See, I'd trade Darvish. I would keep Hendricks. He's, what, 30?
Mm-hmm.
I would trade Darvish. He's 34 years of age. His value's never going to be any higher. Bam! Yankees, you want Darvish? Here's the price.
But keep Hendricks, well, right?
Yes.
I agree with you. You get the marquee network. You got to have an attraction out there once every 5 days.
Exactly.
Well, exactly. If I trade one, I trade them both. We're not far off. I mean, but that's a mini rebuild, though. You cannot retool a whole pitching staff if you trade your best one or two guys. So that's a close to full-on rebuild at that point. Starting pitching is still the hardest thing to obtain and the most important.
So what do you look at from the White Sox standpoint? Jesse, I think all of us knew that the Mazzara deal was just kind of a throw-in. Like, if the Sox are going to flourish and if Mazzara just comes along, it's fine. But you knew he wasn't the long-term answer in right field. What do they do there? Because you got to fill that spot.
Yeah, the 60-game season killed him. I mean, that was a perennial 20-home-run-year guy, mm-hmm. and he hit one. I think he's better than what he showed, but he only had 60 games to show it before being non-tendered. I was surprised Ronaldo Lopez wasn't non-tendered, to be honest. The left-handed bat, they absolutely need at least one or two. I just said before how important left-handed pitching and hitting is. You have to understand, if you had a full team of righties or lefties, you would choose lefties. That's because there are so many more righty pitchers in the league. They need some – you saw what they did against lefties. They were .500 against righties, essentially. They need some pop from the left side. That's why I think a guy like Schwarber would fit. But if it's not him, they've got to go out and look for that. So it's left-handed hitting for them and starting pitching. Those are the only two things. Also, they have to figure out closer. I love Colomé, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be a reunion there. So left-handed hitting, closer, and starting pitching. So there are some holes there, but we know that they have a great, great base and foundation, and they have money to spend. I did hear, I mentioned this on Sylvian Waddle or Carmen yesterday, I did hear from a couple teams the White Sox were not looking at that big free agent signing. They were going middle tier. Now, with all these players available after yesterday, middle tier might be enough. But from what that tells me is it won't be necessarily Trevor Bauer or George Springer on the south side, if you believe what these two teams were telling me.
But if the White Sox, for me, were smart, they would call the Cubs and go, all right, what do you want for Darvish? Because he either fronts your rotation. He's one of the three guys in your playoff series. You go, oh, I got Darvish. I got Giolito. I got Keuchel.
I have no problem. I have no problem with that ask. Absolutely no problem, because I'm not thinking the Cubs are going to win in 21 or 22.
Neither am I.
Right. If Cub fans, and that's why I have no problem with a mini rebuild. See, a mini rebuild, you don't have to be exact with every trade. You could, you look what the White Sox did. They flooded the market. They sold everybody. They brought everybody in, and a bunch of guys are going to make it, and maybe a couple won't. If you trade just Bryant, you better hit a home run on that trade. But if you trade Bryant, if you trade Darvish, if you do a mini rebuild, you have a little bit more leeway. And I think Jed needs a little bit more leeway, because right now you are trying to thread that needle on the north side. I have no problem with that White Sox ask, and I'd also look into Schwarber as well.
Have a great day, Jesse.
Okay, guys, take care. See you. Yep.
There he is, Jesse Rogers.
You're such a lazy GM. Everything is local to you. Hey, if I'm the Sox, I call the Cubs. If I'm the Cubs, I call the White Sox. Why can't I get Trevor Bauer for the 1 year?
He's not going to sign a 1 year deal. I'll be shocked if he does.
No, although he says 1 year deals, right?
Or you can shoot me with a paintball gun. Yeah, to his best friend.
Why can't I have Tanaka?
Hold on a second. If I'm going to give you Darvish at $20 million a year versus $40 million for Trevor Bauer on a 1 year deal. Anyway, a parody song at my expense, apparently.
What?
That's what Danny's telling me.
I've not heard this.
Glad I can program all the shows.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
That plus all of your calls. Next.
This is Cap and J-Hood. Enjoy the show each morning in your Instagrammies. At Cap J-Hood on Instagram.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000.
Oh, the Cap Man is so insightful, and our takes are quite dull. Sylvie's in the bunker 'cause chemo. Let's let Cap just program our show. Oh, Mitch is playing, time's been dropping. Cap's opinions keep flipping and flopping. We got our hands on band audio. Let's let Cap just program our show. Though Cap tried to hide that soundbite, we still had to use it on our show. Our own material's so hard to write, we just use his takes as our own. Take that! The Cap Man still is crying, while Black and Abdallah keep spying. We filled two legal pads, still one to go. Let's let Cap just program our show.
Waddle and Sylvie parody song contest. Very funny. Who was that?
That was courtesy Cap of Brian Ledman.
Brian did a very nice job.
Yes.
Funny.
He got you programming the show and me with the Sylvie yellow pad.
Exactly. Why did they do it 9? Ah! Very funny.
Sylvie's just turned into like Chris Farley now. Now he's out of control. I made him out of control. So it's not even Sylvie anymore. It's just out of control. That's what I've turned him into, Miller.
My favorite version of Sylvie, though, I have to admit.
It's not even Sylvie anymore. It used to just be, you know, I'm going to look forward to the show at 2 with Waddle. And now he's Abdallah! What are they talking about now? 9:15 Saturday. Now I've just made him just completely out of control. It's not even him anymore.
Insane.
I don't even know what I'm doing.
Those are the best parodies, though. The ones that get out of control.
That one was very, very good. It was just succinct and to the point.
How about that, Danny?
Of course Cap liked it because it talked about Cap in a positive way that he programmed their show.
No, it actually didn't. It was mocking me.
It was not mocking me.
Oh, you. Yeah, okay.
Oh, I didn't sense that at all.
Okay.
I was actually invited to the Waddle and Sylvie meeting. A member of their staff asked me, why don't you just show up to our meeting and fill them in person?
That'd be so great. There's got to be more just firing on me. And I'm okay with that. Have fun. Enjoy. That's okay.
That's all right. You'll get them back. Because you're spiteful and vengeful like that.
No question about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Somehow, some way, I will.
You just file it away.
File it away.
And they'll come back in some kind of rage-filled yelling at them somehow, some way. And I have to sit here and just take it. and listen to it.
That's it. Just laugh at me.
Yeah, as long as the pay is still good, I'll sit here and listen.
Check clear to bank?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's it.
Every time, right to Amazon.
Direct deposit.
Right to Amazon.
Oh, my God. I came home yesterday. I'm like, jeez, what are all the boxes on my front porch? Bring them all in, wash my hands from the boxes.
Yep.
And I hear barking at the door. I look, there's three dogs, my dogs, all at the door. He just dropped off more packages.
Yeah.
All right, let me bring them in. Yes. Bring them all in, set them down, wash my hands again. I go down and work out. I come up, and there's like four more boxes there.
That's right. Yeah, it's amazing.
Mitty, I call there. I go, what is going on? Those are things for the baby.
Yeah.
Because our son, Garrett, is about to be a father.
Sure.
I'm like, really?
Yes.
You got enough on that porch to put the poor boy through college.
I know. I know. It's just great. You know, I never know if the doorbell works unless the Amazon packages come.
Correct.
You know, and then, of course, it's the south side, so it's like ring the doorbell, and I got to get up from the nap, right? Get up and just lumber to the front door. And because they assume it's the south side, they start pounding on the window. I go, hey, my doorbell works. I know I'm in the South Shore, but actually the doorbell actually works around here. Don't knock on my window.
Exactly.
Pal,
take that.
Can you imagine if Carm lived in your house? He'd be chasing people every 2 days.
I don't know.
Trying to chase them down.
I don't know.
Ding dong ditch Carm's house.
Maybe it's a mailman.
Maybe it's Amazon.
Maybe it's a solicitor. I don't know. Maybe it's a Jehovah's Witness. Maybe it's not. I don't know.
Trying to make a living. I'm not sure. I don't know.
I mean, he's trying to do what he can. I don't know. Yeah, that's it would be the indifference.
What did they talk about with Amazon, Abdallah?
That's just him just going bananas.
All right, Dan Orlovsky is going to break down Bears Lions, and he did a breakdown of Danny's handpicked quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky, and his footwork in the Packer game.
Yeah, I don't think that's his. I think you just made that up.
I did.
That's your handpick.
That was my guy.
You know what Cap does? Cap, like, everything good you do, Hoodie, he steals for himself.
Oh, my
like,
God, yes.
And then 100%. every bad take he has, he puts off on somebody else. Yeah, Mitch 100%. Was your handpick quarterback, not mine.
Yeah, I mean.
And leave the Sylvie impressions to the man that can do them well.
Yeah. See, but I mean, that's what it is, though. See, understand that this has been going on for generations, and not just today. Every day it illustrates that, you know, when some famous gospel singer or something had something, there'd be the white guy taking it from him, right?
I mean, Elvis.
I'm ultimately working with Elvis Presley.
He's Elvis.
Right in the ghetto.
Yeah, exactly. Amazing grace.
What did he say?
Oh, sweet. Like, wait a minute.
Hey, write that down. That was a good one.
Yes, I remember Elvis as a young black man, you singing that in Memphis. So this is what happens every day. If people need to know, like, this is what we've dealt with. And what I'm going to ask for at the end of this contract is reparations.
Wow.
So, from all the stealing that you've done all this time.
Dan Orlovsky, 2 minutes.
Amazing.